Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, myself and General Mufumi will present the targets in terms of the strategic objectives and the annual performance plan for 2012-13 with regard to Program 1. General Skutte have already alluded to the fact that the purpose of the Program 1 is to develop policy and manage the department, including providing administrative support. And in terms of the strategic objectives as outlined in our strategic plan, page 22, as well as the APP, page 14, it's to regulate the overall management of the department and provide centralized support services. The sub-programs, as indicated in the expenditure for the coming year, is in terms of the ministry, the management, the corporate services, and the office accommodation. Chairperson, in terms of the human capital development budget and resource management, the performance indicators are to maintain a percentage of personnel in terms of the approved establishment. The baseline for 2010-11 was at 99.3% with a target of the actual number of 193,892. And the estimated performance for 2011-12 is to maintain 98% in terms of the figures. It's 197,930. And then the target for 2012-13, as indicated on page 14 of the APP, is to maintain it. And it, as General Skutte has indicated, that there was a cut in our budget, and it was mainly taken from the compensation budget. You will see that our figures will decline in the years to come over the MTF period. And General Mazibuku will elaborate a little bit more on this a little later. With regard to the percentage of learners declared competent upon completion of their training in terms of the training provisioning plan, the baseline performance for 2010-11 was 90.2%. And we have trained 178,871 people, and the number that have been declared competent was 161,350 of those people that have attended the various training interventions. The estimated performance for 2011-12 has been set at 88%, and we want to maintain that target in 2012-13. Then with regard to the percentage compensation expenditure versus the operational expenditure, Chairperson, it was the baseline was 73 versus 27%, and the estimated performance for the current 11-12 financial year was 71 versus 29. So the target for 2012-13 is to maintain the expenditure ratio of not more than 73 versus 27%. I will then request General Mufumi to go over with the next slide, General.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning. With regard to the improvement of capital infrastructure and asset management, our performance indicator, looking at the percentage of bullet-resistant vests and firearms distributed, the baseline performance 2010-11, we distributed 105% of bullet-resistant vests. Our estimated performance for 2011-12 is 100% firearms as well as bullet-resistant vests. In terms of numbers, 6,600 firearms and 9,628 bullet-resistant vests that were planned for. They were procured and distributed. Our target for 2012-2013 is 100% of firearms and bullet-resistant vests to be procured and distributed as planned. Then the performance indicator on the ratio of personnel to vehicles. Our performance in 2010-11 was 3.93:1 vehicle. Estimated performance the previous financial year is to maintain the ratio of 4.51:1, and our target for this current financial year is to maintain the ratio of not more than 4.51:1 vehicle. Looking at the police facility projects completed as per the plan, in 2010-11, our achievement was 57.58% of our police facility projects were completed. The estimated performance in 2011-12, 70% per police facility project, and the target for this current financial year, we have 95% completion per police facility project. And then moving on to the next priority, which is the enhancement of information systems and information and communication technology, that's the environment of TMS. Percentage of planned annual funded IS and ICT projects completed. Our achievement in 2010-11 was 75.5% of our annual funded projects that we completed, and our estimated performance in the 2011-12 is 70% of those projects completed, and the target for 2012-13 is also 70% of ICT and IS annual funded projects completed. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, members, honorable members of the committee. The next part of the presentation is going to look at the operational support priorities, looking specifically at personnel management. We will have heard during the presentation by the Chief Financial Officer that there has been a baseline cut in the allocation, budget allocation, and this has had an effect on the number of personnel that we are to take on board as we proceed to the next financial year. What appears on the slide there is information dating back to 2008, where we were in terms of the establishment achievement, as we continue to seek our 98% of the total establishment at all times. In 2008-2009, we had 182,000 members. In 2009-2010, we had 190,000. And in 2010-2011, we had achieved 193,000. And this financial year, past financial year, we had achieved our target of 197,000 against the set target of 198,000. But as a result of this baseline cut in the expenditure, as explained earlier, we have had to review our approach as well as the numbers that we are supposed to take on board as we proceed for the rest of the cycle. Due to these baseline reductions that came into effect, the total reduction from 2008-2009 to 2014-2015 will amount to 9,440 employees. This is graphically represented at the bottom of the slide. As you can see, in 2012-2013, we will reduce from the current 197,930 to 194,130. And in 2013-2014, we'll further reduce to 190,590. And finally, in 2014-2015, we will reduce to 188,490. Despite that, we will keep in mind the emphasis as referred to in the previous slide, I think it was slide 18, on the areas where we need to focus for the enhancement, for example, of detective capacity, the deep sea environment, the crime intelligence. Those areas will be still looked at in terms of strategies going ahead. And quality emphasis on recruitment in terms of the strategy, we will continue to focus on community-based approach, which includes a consultation with the community structures. There have been challenges around this initiative in that some of these community role players have not clearly understood their role, but nonetheless we continue to clarify their role so that we can optimize their participation in the process. We also continue to do vetting by crime intelligence as well as conduct reference checks further operational support priorities relating to cluster station management framework. General Ntwe will take the presentation forward.
Thank you, Chairperson. Members of the committee, as we will recall, about 3 years ago, we actually implemented the cluster structure in order to ensure that the span of control in terms of supervision is actually manageable. And in doing so, our role also needed to provide clarity in terms of the structure as well as function, and also to ensure that we eliminate duplication of work as well as duplication in terms of resources in line with resource allocation methodology. In doing that, we looked at the cluster station management framework, which could be implemented in order to streamline and align the way we do work and the way we account and the way we are held responsible. In the last year, we implemented or piloted in 3 provinces, and in this coming year, we will actually be implementing and rolling out in all provinces. The cluster management framework provides for the management of personnel as well as functions at a cluster and station level. It also prescribes not only what personnel should be doing, but it tells how often and also what is it that should be done. We have also developed a number of templates to guide the cluster management as well as the station personnel in doing their jobs on today's basis in various functions, as well as the checklists, which will assist in the inspection side of whether the job has been done or not done. This also will ensure that parades are attended, and those who are attending parades are also equipped well, and they know exactly what they're supposed to be doing when they report, when they start working. Also, we have developed templates which will serve as documentary proof that what was supposed to be done was done and was carried out in terms of adherence or non-adherence to the prescripts and SOPs. Particularly, these templates will assist us with inspections, but also with visits by management and also committees, oversight committees that visit the police stations and the cluster offices. The cluster station management framework will be implemented and rolled out in all clusters during the current financial year. It will carry the strategic objectives of strategic organizational priorities of the SAPs in terms of reduction in contact crimes, TRIO, police visibility, and so forth. It will also be cascaded and aligned in such a way that it links up with the performance agreements and performance assessments of the relevant managers, provincial commissioner, cluster commander, as well as station commanders. The performance assessment of these managers will also be informed and drawn from this system using the reporting mechanisms that is in the performance chart. We will continue to maintain high compliance rate in the utilization of performance management system, and we will be also entrenching at the supporting procedures in terms of ensuring that really performance systems are actually adhered to. We will do this by actually having audits and also auditing performance agreements in the organization. We have also, as it was indicated earlier on in the opening remarks of the NASCOM, that we have developed a policy that we will be implementing during the current financial year, which talks to the career streams and career paths in the police and seeks to actually ensure that the proper utilization of personnel in terms of the skills that they were trained for, but also there's a proper progression in terms of promotion, but in the same stream, and in terms of promotion in the same stream. Those are the activities that will ensure that we improve the quality of work life of our members. I will hand over to General Ndekela on HRC.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable members of the committee. I will be presenting on the human resource development of members of the South African Police Service. And the first slide is just a synopsis or a summary in terms of the process and issues that we consider when, to come up with the training provisioning plan of the South African Police Service. And this is the guidance that we give to the provinces as well as the divisions in order for them to come up with quality plans that are going to inform training. We collate the needs, of the members by looking at the skills audit reports, which have got the individual development plans. We look at the PEP documents that have got development plans, and out of that, we are able to identify the skills gaps as well as the knowledge gaps, and then that feeds into, the compilation of the training plan. But we also give guidance in terms of the strategic priorities so that when training committees are looking at the, at the development of the plan, they need to look at the organizational needs in terms of the strategic priorities of the organization and also in terms of the geographic priorities, because provinces differ in terms of what their needs are. We look at the various reports as well, the Auditor General, the Portfolio Committee, the Internal Audit, the Inspectorate reports. That should also feed into the development, of the plan. The performance charts is also looked at when developing the training plan, as well as looking at the issues such as the availability of the trainers, facilities that are going to be, that are going to impact on the implementation of the plan. After all has been considered and we give templates in terms of the completion, of the information as well as the timelines in terms of the submission. Once nine provincial training plans have been collated and from the station level to the provincial level, then those plans are sent to head office, and together with the divisional plans, they are collated into one plan. And you also get nationally coordinated programs that are a responsibility of National Human Resource Development, and those plans that are coming from the various components according to the nationality, coordinated programs, they are also collated into one plan. So at the end, there is one training provisioning plan of the South African Police Service that is produced, that is going to reflect all training that is going to be implemented. The further guidance that is given to the provinces and the divisions is in terms of the allocation of the budget, that whenever they are planning, they should make sure that operational development gets a higher percentage in terms of the budget. So we say general policing development must receive at least 30%, tactical and firearm 25%, detective development 25%, and then support and generic skills development a cut of 20%. Now, if we go to the courses and training that is being planned for 2012-2013, you will see, that the number of courses have been clubbed together, and we are saying we are having 7031. There's a typo error there. It is 7030, not one. The number of courses that are going to be implemented, and the attendees will be 166,591. And I also want to emphasize that we are not saying the number of learners deliberately. We are saying attendees because the attendance does not translate directly into the number of individuals, because you will have an individual attending more than one a training intervention, and as such has got to be counted like that. And the other thing that you want to emphasize is that implementing these programs for 2012-2013 is going to have a shift in terms of the management of training, a shift of focus in terms of focusing on the quality of delivery of these programs, not necessarily just on the quantitative, the number of courses that have been implemented, but on the quality. And if you focus on the quality, you look at the modes of delivery, you strengthen the monitoring and evaluation of the programs and the impact assessments in order to determine the effectiveness of the programs. The next slide is just a breakdown in terms of the quarters for the implementation of the training. And then the next slide is referring to the priorities that have been identified. Detective training, because it was also identified long ago in terms of being a priority, hence the year is also called the year for detectives. Now, if we look at detective training, we are having the basic investigative course that is going to be implemented, which is a 2-week course. We are having the resolving of crime, which is a ROC. We are having specialized courses for detectives, and we are having short interventions that support the detectives as well. All those are going to be implemented during the financial year. But probably as a reminder that with the ROC training, we are coming from a backlog which was identified 2010, if my memory serves me well, of 4,845 detectives that were not yet trained in as far as resolving of crime is concerned. And then last financial year, we indicated that we are going to start reducing the backlog. And in trying to reduce the backlog, we trained 1,434, of those detectives across the provinces. That is what we had said, we are going to train. But in actual fact, because we had to decentralize the training in certain provinces in order to try and implement as much training as possible, we trained effectively 1,640 detectives, which left us now with a backlog of 3,205. And if we say for the financial year 2012-2013, we are going to train 2,161 out of that backlog, That means we'll be left with 1,044. And then that is the, I mean, the backlog that we're going to finish in, I mean, in 2013. I think we had said it last year that we cannot cover it over 1 year. We have to spread it over at least 3 years in order for us to be able to cover that backlog. And if we go to the detective commanders, as well, we have planned 6 courses, and this will be taking place in PAL, I mean Academy, and the attendees, the number of detectives that will train will be 305. And if we look at the station commanders as well, which have been, I mean, identified as a priority, we have identified 4 courses that will be implemented for the station commanders. The station commander training, we're no longer going to devolve it to the provinces where it has been taking place, I mean, over the years, and using the cascading model. But the detective training is going to be taking place in PAL in the block release form, so that they are able to complete the 6 modules of the station management, I mean, a learning program within a reasonable time, instead of many of them staying without actually completing all the modules of the of the station management learning program. But going hand in hand with that has been the identification of the lack of IT skills amongst the station commanders. Hence, IT training for station commanders has also been earmarked so that they can be capacitated. They are able to access and read some of the reports and even the crime stats and everything that is available in this in the systems. The other priorities that have been identified relate to training that has to do with victim empowerment, women and children, sexual offences, all that kind of training. We have clubbed together, but at the bottom of the of the presentation, we have also separated them to indicate the victim empowerment training that we are going to implement, 103 courses, and those will be the beneficiaries. The child justice, including the Child Justice Act, the human rights, because we have also identified the need of strengthening the members when it comes to the human rights aspect, the domestic violence, the sexual offences, the FCS training. That is what is captured there. The other priority that has been identified, according to the needs that came from the whole organization, have been the client customer service development. All courses directed at the improvement of service delivery at the sub-community contact points, e.g., the community service centers, the 10111 call centers. We are going to be focusing at that in order to support the organization in trying to fight crime in the country. The IT training, which is now the IT training generically, not necessarily for the station commanders, but for the organization as such. What we have tried to do is to move away from the word perfect, which has always been used in the organization all these years, but to look at the Microsoft Office packages, which are including the MS Word, MS Word, Excel, etc., because the word perfect is an outdated program. So the IT training has been identified as one of the key areas that will be looked at. And we have identified 3 levels in terms of the IT training. The basic, training for all those people that do not have any computer skills. The intermediate for those that do have some computer skills, but they need also to be developed further, as well as the advanced. And this has been identified also in line with the areas of functioning, of the people. For instance, with the detective environment, together with Microsoft, working with the Women's Network, we have started with the training of the detectives in as far as IT skills are concerned, because detectives have been identified as a critical point, as a critical area. So that IT training, has been identified. The other, identification or important area is the reskilling of the operational, police members. Having identified, that our police members, especially in the visible policing area, they have got a lack in some of the skills, like the tactical skills, the weapon skills, for instance. We are implementing a training program which we started last year, last financial year, concentrating on Gauteng as well as KZN, but it will be rolled to all the provinces that, a reskilling, which is a refresher training, to reinforce command and control discipline, tactical skills and operational knowledge of the members of the SAS, and training will also include drill, physical fitness, weapon skills training, tactical movements, as well as some basic management principles. Those are the courses that have been identified in terms of that, and the attendees will be 2,690. And if we look at the general policing development, under general policing development, we have clubbed again, all the training, like crime prevention, level one, all those trainings that go with general policing. And we are saying we are going to be implementing those 697 courses, and those with the will be the beneficiaries that will be trained. If we look at the nationally coordinated, provisioning, we are looking at all those trainings in the forensic environment. We are also looking at the interventions, such as basic training, forensic science learnership, introductory basic police development, lateral entry programs, and basic police training. Those are nationally coordinated, and they will, be implemented from that level. But in addition, Chairperson, we also have management and leadership development in the organization. We have got various courses that we implement there according to the levels of the people. We have got the basic, management program, level one, level two, the junior management learning program, middle management, the executive development program. So under management and leadership development, those are the courses that are going to be implementing for the people, for the members of the South African Police Service. We have identified 9 courses, and those were the beneficiaries of the training. We are also responsible for managing international training in the organization. For people that we send overseas and they get trained in certain trainings them, and we are also coordinating the SARCO courses or the SARCO training and development for the SARCO in the SADC region, and we are going to be we're looking at that. They are not always specified quite on time, all of them, especially if you go to the international. We're still waiting for the other countries to actually come up, discuss with us in terms of the training plans that need to be implemented. So that's why we cannot even, indicate precisely, what the courses are. Further than that, Chairperson, I think we have heard that we have got a skills levy that we pay to the SASITA in accordance with legislation, the Skills Development Act. And there are learnerships, which are a form of training that we implement as well in the organization through the SASITA. And we have identified 8 learnerships that will be implemented, during this financial year. And those will be partly funded from the SASITA, and the organization will fund, a part of that. There are special projects as well that we have not, we have not quantified, like K53, like the A-BED, like, I mean, all those special projects for the organization, they will also be implemented, I mean, Chairperson. There will be the 192 courses that are going to be implemented, and the attendees will be 6,621 according to the different streams that, I mean, that will be there. That completes my presentation on the human resource development aspect. Thank you, General. I mean, thank you. Sorry, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair. I mean, can I hand over to General Mufume to proceed with supply chain? Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, Madam Chairperson, thank you. As we proceed with the operational support priorities for supply chain management, on asset management, our priorities are as follows: provisioning of firearms and bullet-resistant vests. And what we will do is to issue a marked bullet-resistant vest in line with the demand we receive from provinces and divisions, as well as incorporating the new intakes, because as we plan, we also look at the new students who will be joining the organization. Then we'll enhance the process of issuing firearms certification as well as loss control. This will relate to the dot pin marking, as well as the IBIS testing of firearms. Then looking at the effective management of our vehicle fleet, I've already indicated our target of maintaining a personnel to vehicle ratio. So we will focus on optimizing procurement processes in relation to the user requirement. This will be in terms of the RT57 contract, managing the process of boarding vehicles, making sure that these are finalized quicker, optimizing the functioning of garages. We have started with the performance management at garages, so we will be intensifying that, as well as looking at the capacity and the empowerment of our garages. Then on the capital infrastructure and property management, we'll improve the management of contractual arrangements with our contractors and as well as other service providers, strengthen relationships with the Department of Public Works. We have already started with meetings and managing the projects closely together. Approve management of capital and planned maintenance projects. Then enhancing the management of lease agreements, as well as the enhancement of basic services through the implementation of maintenance contracts for those facilities that are devolved to the SAPS. Then on the leases, these are the number of leases that we started with in this financial year, 1,365, out of which 967 are office accommodation, 91 living quarters, and the 307 is land. But we are aware that in terms of leases, they change throughout the financial year as we get new requirements for leases, or some leases expire or are cancelled as per the request of the end user. Then looking at this slide, it indicates the 8 police facility projects that are appear in the APP, which are as follows: it's the new police station is 1, re-established facilities 3, newly re-established 1, and then repair and upgrade of police facilities, we have got 3. However, I would like to indicate that we will also be finalizing 6 projects that were not completed in the 2011-2012 financial year. And of those, because in the previous financial year we had 22 projects, that our target was to complete each one of them at 70%. So out of the 22, 16 were 100% completed. Then out of the 6 that were not completed, only 2 were below the 70% target, and those 2 were Jongsa Police Station as well as Tembisa. In the case of Joza, the contractor seems to have underestimated the work that was involved, but we are in consultation with him, and he has committed that he is going to speed up. And then with regards to the Tembisa police station, it was the labor unrest on site which made it difficult for the contractor to complete as planned. Maybe I can just mention the rest of the four, because I said it's six. I've mentioned two. Then the others we have is the Port Elizabeth 10111 Centre, the VNN Police Station, Silverton FSL, and then Krokoland Police Station as well. Those are the ones, but they were at more than 70% the target. We'll also then be continuing with work on the rest of our building projects. Maybe just to indicate as well that we have got a number of projects which were presented as well to this committee previously by General Cruiser, and these projects are at different stages on our building plan. Some of them are in the planning stage, others it's the site clearance stages and so on. You find that even those that appear in later years on the strategic plan, work has already begun on those ones, and we are able to give the details if it is needed. Remembering that, of course, it is not possible to complete a building project in one financial year. So that is why those that appear in later financial years, we have got work that has already started. And that some of the projects that we'll be continuing with within this financial year includes the basic services projects where we are providing water, sewage and electricity. Some of them are being implemented by the SAPS, while others are done by the Department of Public Works. And then I will now request Lieutenant General Ngubane to proceed with the TMS priorities. Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members. The Acting National Commissioner did indicate earlier that I have been appointed as the Divisional Commissioner for Technology Management Services. It is my honor to be able to take on this challenge. The primary focus, obviously, for this period is going to be to stabilize the environment. There's been changes in TMS. When changes like that happen in an organization, there is a bit of instability. So one of my primary tasks is to basically stabilize the environment. There will be changes. I have been in the environment for a year, so I do understand some of the challenges that are facing the organization. Some of the changes that I'm going to be implementing may not be popular, but I do believe I understand the priorities of the environment, and my focus is to improve service delivery. One of the other focus areas is to obviously improve governance and accountability, because I believe that we handle quite a sizable budget of the South African Police Service. We therefore need to be absolutely accountable, and all our activities and initiatives must be above board. That is going to be our approach to the business. We want to also ensure value for money for the spend. I always cringe when I hear that the portfolio committee visited police stations and the state of technology in the police stations is not up to expectation. That is going to be one of our primary focus areas. And also to smooth out the working engagement model with CETA. And to that effect, I will talk a little bit about some of the initiatives that we are planning with CETA. Also, just before I get into the presentation itself, I need to just inform the committee that it's obviously not going to be proper for me to start by trying to fix the past. There has been decisions and initiatives that were taken in the past that were probably not according to proper governance and so forth. My focus is to really try and change the future, the direction that the union is going. We will obviously try and correct those initiatives and the activities that have not gone according to government. Now, to get into our presentation for today, we have a summary of our initiatives that are in the annual performance plan. Basically, the first one is to really look at the internal subsystems integration, which is quite an important matter. We are doing an audit of the existing systems to ensure that to determine the extent of integration. And in this particular case, I want to, without calling the committee down with acronyms and the technology speak, there is a difference between integration and interface. We have systems that need to exchange information, and that does happen. The integration is more the interaction between systems whereby a user in one system can have access and be able to change things on another system. Now, there are security considerations that must be taken into account. So where that is required, we have the integration in those systems, but we obviously can do a lot more in that particular area. We also want to prioritize the system integration to enable service-oriented alignment within SEPs. The way, when you talk about service-oriented architecture, Chair, we really mean to optimize the deployment of technology to a point where we eliminate duplication. We have like systems actually use the same databases, the same infrastructure, so that we avoid the duplication. But we also want to develop the ICT systems that will manage that interoperability. And to that effect, we have what is known as the SI path that has been developed. This does not only ensure integration among the SEP systems, it also ensures interdepartmental systems, especially in the criminal justice cluster. So we want to develop the infrastructure for peering service capability to enable that interdepartmental information exchange. We have been talking to the Department of Home Affairs with the view to have access to their fingerprint database. However, for that to happen, the format of their fingerprint database needs to conform to our requirements. So that's what we are working on right now, to actually determine what changes they need to effect on their side to accommodate our requirements. On the ICT infrastructure, we have the ongoing network, national network upgrade program. We are accelerating that. We have taken a view to also open up the technology, because the technology we have is really from one vendor. That is a risk by any standard in technology, because it means we're totally dependent on one service provider. What we want to do is to have two or three other service providers who provide the technology to our specification that will ensure that the technology is interoperate. Now, this is standard practice, not something that we are trying out in SEPs. We want to also increase and expand our network. There are police stations, especially in rural, deep rural police stations, where there is not enough infrastructure. We can still put in technology using our radio microwave network. So we are looking at all of these issues. We have a plan, according to our annual performance plan, to implement 20 microwave links. So the plan is already in place to actually do this. We want to also implement and maintain the infrastructure using what is known as the convergence. In other words, using the voice, video, and data networks in a converged manner. We are in discussion with CETA to give us a voice over IP service. All that means is, instead of paying Telkom for our telephone services, we will now use our data network to run our voice and video. We also want to develop the ISICT systems in support of government strategic priorities. Now, our annual performance plan lists a lot of projects, and some of these projects are actually geared towards this initiative, which is really to align our systems in such a way that they support the strategic direction of the sector. That means enhancing and maintaining IS products and services. We have end-user equipment that is used in the forensic science lab, and also by in the operations on the street. We want to provide products that are cost-effective and also that can interoperate. In terms of some of our critical systems and solutions, we have the e-docket system, which I'm happy to announce that as of 1st of April, we have rolled out e-docket to the 20 police stations as per our plan last year. Unfortunately, there was a dependency that CETA had to create a space on the mainframe, basically, for us to operate this system, which they did do right at the end of March. So we were able to launch the system. What we are doing now is to stabilize the system in the 20 police stations. We are happy to demo, to invite the committee to some of the stations. And these stations happen to be in Gauteng because it's closer to head office. We can monitor and tweak whatever needs to be tweaked on those stations. The target for this year is obviously 40 new stations, and I can say that we can actually do more than 40. The way the e-docket system works is if you have access to internet, you actually have access to the system. We just have to give you the necessary sign-on and the password to be able to access the system. So the biggest part of the rollout is to ensure that the workstations have got the right version of Internet Explorer and the people are trained to use the system. It's actually much easier than the current manual system. PCAM, we are rolling out PCAM this year. We are going to be rolling out to 150 police stations. Detention management system, unfortunately this project has been stalled in CETA more than two times now. The contract, the tender was cancelled twice at CETA. The last time the tender was cancelled was because no supplier qualified according to CETA. No one qualified for the requirement. So we are in discussion with CETA. We've developed a new specification which we believe is open enough to enable the bidders to respond appropriately. The action request system has also been implemented. We are going to be rolling out to 10 triple one centers this financial year. I mentioned the relationship with CETA, which we have been working on, and I must say we've come a long way. We will be assisting CETA in implementing the what they call the cloud computing strategy. All that means is instead of us buying mainframes and servers that sit in our numerous venue, CETA will now provide the service, this on a service basis. In other words, we will not be buying any new equipment. We'll pay for service from CETA. It's quite an exciting proposition, I believe. According to international best practice, we will be able to save between 20 and 30% of our operational budget by going this route. So that concludes my presentation, Chair. And thank you very much.
Chairperson, thank you. That concludes the presentation on Program 1.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and the members for paying attention to our long presentation. But that's what we put forward before the committee in terms of our annual performance plan for 2012-2013 financial year. And this plan, I must say that it is going to be implemented in the terms of a project management system, where on a quarterly basis is going to be reviewed on the performance, how far are we with all the deliverables. So we are able to account for every cent that you spend on this. So I welcome questions to a person if there are any.
No, thank you very much, Acting National Commissioner. We will take questions from members. You can see the lot of Honorable NG, Honorable Kolabanat, Honorable Bobby, Honorable Reverend Meshwe, Honorable Ndlovu, Honorable Ramatlakane, Honorable Annelies. In that order, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much to the presenters. My first question goes to General Ntwe. It's about the cluster structure. Is this structure effective according to your assessment? Why I'm asking this is you go to police stations, you find in some police stations it's worse that you even find a cluster office inside the police station, but you find the police station being non-existent. Is the structure really effective? My second question goes to General Curtis. In the AG's report, time and again it keeps on coming that you don't provide source documents. Why is this the case? My next question goes to General Mbegela. The training, you spoke of the training of station commanders. My question is this training also effective? Why I'm asking that is you compare two station commanders, the one who has completed the courses, and the one that has not completed. You find that this other one who has not completed is performing better than the one who is said to have been, who have completed everything. Is this training also effective? About still to General Begela, you spoke of the training of weapons skills. How is this being followed up that it's really working, because you go to some police stations, you find that they don't even have a shooting range. What does it help? Some police stations, officers stay for 12 months not undergoing a not even going to a shooting range. I don't know what you call it. But that is that. To General Mufume, can we have that list that you are having? Why I'm asking that is you go to the Northwest to a police station, I don't even know, you call it a police station, at Itoseng, where men and women are supposed to go to work in that terrible situation daily and perform. The police station said to... They were expecting a new police station since 1994. Even up to now, they are still sitting there, and the police station will even collapse on them. And that is the situation some people are faced with, and they are expected to perform. Can we have that list to follow up? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just ask about half of the ones I've put down here. Looking through the reports and the claims that the violent crime is dropping, we have a number of other reports that are given to us. One encounter point, for example, that I have here was a presentation by the Legal Advocacy Centre, which claimed that, for example, of 942 complaints collected from hospital courts and police stations in Acorn Hook, only 63 resulted in charges. Now, that seems like an enormous difference. Bearing in mind that 45,500 domestic violence incidents were reported, only 17,000 resulted in criminal charges, She says in Gauteng, only 1 in 11 cases of rape are actually reported. Women don't want to go to the police station. They don't want to go through the SAPS processes. They find that almost as scary as the initial act. So it means that the crime statistics are certainly in relation to rape, and that's according to all the NGOs that I've spoken to over the years. They're questionable. And there's also a question about the aggregation of all 59 sexual offences together, and it clouds our ability to analyse the seriousness of the situation. So please give us some feedback, and I'm asking if there's a possibility that in the next annual report we disaggregate them and we separate those out so that we can compare whether you're being successful in certain areas in relation to the sexual attacks. Then we look at the firearm situation. Now, very ambitious targets for the firearm licenses, permits, authorization and renewals, and that's very admirable, and yet the situation seems on the ground to be nowhere near sorted out. Look, it took me maybe 2.5 years to get a renewal. That's about average. I've heard of cases much longer than that. The backlogs in the stations we do oversight on, they all have backlogs. And then, of course, the matter of the 27,000 SAPS members without licenses. If you can't license your own members, I have to ask how you expect to license civilians, the millions. SAPS is breaking the law by allowing these members to carry firearms. And as Honourable Angie was saying, why aren't you providing them with shooting ranges? So often we go there, and we ask the questions, and they say, yes, well, a group of 10 went training last year Easter. So you're actually having members with firearms who go to firearms practice once in 3, 4, 5 years. I don't think they could hit the side of a barn if they even know how to get their firearm out of the holster. It's very concerning. So please give me some feedback. There, I see in your training opportunities identified for 2012-13, there is no reference to firearm training. Could you just please once and for all clarify the situation for us in relation to the student constables fresh out of police college? Are they supposed to arrive at the station they're sent to, fully kitted out or not? Because every station tells us a different story. One says they arrive with their uniforms and the bulletproof and the firearm and a safe, everything. The next station says they came with a uniform and nothing else. No bulletproof, no firearm, no safe. Then some come with a firearm, some come with a bulletproof, some come with one or the other or neither. And then what it means is that the province then has to pay out of their budget to supply that equipment, which I had believed should come from the training budget. I'm not actually sure. But the provinces are being hit, and they have other expenditures to deal with. So they shouldn't be paying for what we're already giving training to pay for. So I think that's a problem, and I'd like someone to address that, please. Okay, I'm not even going to go into that one. It's too long. Please, can someone explain that terrible bungle on the billboards of the 10-11 campaign, Central One campaign, that 58 billboards, you lost $750,000. Who was held to account? Who was responsible, and have you got the money back? I'm wanting to know, in training, how many psychologists you have within the SAPS and being utilized today. You know, I've watched over the years a great decrease in the numbers, and there does seem that there's very little likelihood in relation to psychologists and members of someone who's been through a traumatic shooting or had to deal with a baby rape or whatever, getting debriefing. I've always hoped that the psychological debriefing after these instances would become mandatory. I want to know if there's any move towards making that happen. And finally, on the 3rd of March 2008, I was told by the then minister that only 14% of station commissioners then were fully trained. There was a deliberate move by the then, I suppose he still is, Jackie Salebi. He was putting unqualified station heads in, and the vast majority of them had not and possibly never did do the management and leadership modules, and very few had completed the planning and management of operations. And I think a lot of the problems we have today at stations possibly relate back to that decision that he took. Do you have the numbers? Of the, I believe there are 1,123 stations now. I might be wrong if you've built another one or two. How many of your station commanders today are fully qualified? And if you have ones who are unqualified, what are they doing there? Why aren't they trained first and then put into the position. I don't understand this position of putting an unqualified person in the job and then trying to train them up afterwards, because there's always the possibility they will fail all the courses. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson, and all the presenters. excuse me. My question is not directed to any specific presenter, but to the team, because I believe this is a team's effort. My first question is with regard to, it's on slide 5, the reduction of vacancy rate. What I'd like to find out is, what is the department's vacancy rate as we speak? And still on that slide 5, the employment base reaching the 2% target, employment target of disabled people. I would like to find out what strategy does the department, does SAPS have to reach that 10%, because we would really be ululating over that. The employment equity is now almost 14 years old, and none of the department is able to reach that, not even 1%. They're still at a fraction up till now, according to the Public Service Commission. So I would be interested to know how they intend reaching that percentage. My other question is on slide 30. Now, before going to slide 30, slide 24, the overtime allowance. As we visit, I would like to find out, where do detectives fit in terms of that allowance of overtime? Why am I asking this question? Some of these police stations that we visited, there was an allegation that detectives, when they put their claim for their overtime, they get told that they do not qualify for this overtime allowance. So I want to get clarity on that. My other question is on slide 30. The learners that are declared competent, 178, and your target is 88 for this financial year, if I'm correct. My question is, if I'm like maybe the acting commissioner. Pardon me, I'm not a mathematician, but you had 178,870 minus that, you remain with 17,520, which is 12%. What happens to that 12%? That is not regarded as being competent, or that is not competent. What happened to that percentage? The other one I would like to find out is the criteria that are used, or a criterion that is being used to determine the stations that need to, or the stations that need to be built, that needs to be built, or stations that need to be built. My colleague has referred to Itsoseng, but there is a station which is to be, I think, completed by 2014-2015. That is Kanana. And to my knowledge, Kanana is worse, unless something has been done, is worse than Itsoseng. So I would like to find out, what type of criteria do you use to identify stations to be built? The last one, Chairperson. General Mfume indicated that there are other stations where work is in progress, and those stations do not appear in any of the documents that we have with us, but in the previous documents. What I would request is that for us to keep track of what projects are in place or are taking place, that may be reflected in documents, lest these, so that at least a time frame is being indicated that, okay, this project is in process, and this is a completion date. Because my fear is that if that doesn't happen, then those projects are going to fall within the cracks and disappear within the cracks. I said the last one, but the last one, Chairperson, is again with regard to the stations that we have visited. Maybe I can face an allegation again. We went to one office and we requested that they operate an AVL system for us. And we got told that the person who's responsible for operating that AVL system is online. So in those trainings, I would like to know where does the training for operating AVL system come in? When do police officers get trained on operating AVL system, unless that system becomes just a white elephant? Lastly, Chairperson, and lastly for Lastly, the duration. You indicated a number of courses. There are different courses. I would like to know the duration of those courses. For how long does each course last? I think that's all that question for now, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question, based on slide 14, is whether there is a way of measuring the effectiveness of some of the development measures that are taken, particularly when you look at the health and wellness of the SAPS. Now, looking at the amount of money that's put in this, and also looking at it in the context of abuse of sick leave, one realizes that many of the SAPS are not well and they're not healthy. So how do you develop, how do you measure the success of your development programs? Because sick leave is being abused in many politicians, which says to us that many of the members are neither healthy nor well. And the second one, based on slide 18, about the strengthening of family violence and sexual offenses. When one listens to the amount of children, in particularly that are raped, it is shocking. Sunday, a young girl around 9 was brought to me, who for months, they said, is being sexually abused every day after school. They say every day. She lives with the grandmother, and the grandmother is powerless. She tried to report. They said nothing's happened. Every day, sometimes 3 to 4 boys, every day after school. So I want to know, when you talk about strengthening of child protection and sexual offenses, what do you think is going to come out of this when currently children are being abused on a daily basis and nothing seems to be done about it? Actually, the third thing is, when you ask, have you reported, they say, we have reported, but nothing has been done. Some are saying we are being laughed at when we try to make reports. It's just too shocking. Now, my other question is about the backlog regarding the untrained detectives. We were told that the training of these untrained detectives cannot be done in 1 year. Now, since we have so many challenges regarding crimes that are bedeviling our communities, what makes it impossible, if it is impossible, to reduce this backlog of untrained detectives in 1 or most 2 years, rather than 3 years? So I just want to know practically what is the problem. Why can it be reduced in less than 3 years? Next question. The estimation, how do we estimate the number of attendees to some of these courses? And why do you choose the word, to use the word attendees and not trainees? And how do you estimate trainees, attendees in a course that has not yet taken place? The last one, about IT. We heard that the format, we're told that the format of Home Affairs fingerprint data, database, must conform to the SAT specification. I do not understand that. Now, if SAT wants to use Home Affairs fingerprint database, why should be Home Affairs conforming to SAT specification? And if this is to take place, how long is it going to take, and why should it not be SAPS specification conforming to Home Affairs? Because it's SAPS that needs Home Affairs help. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, some of the question has been asked by my colleagues. Therefore, I will just ask run about two questions because some of them have been asked already. I just want to get a relationship, or no, capital works, relationship between the department and public works, the proper relationships. If I can get it clear, what is the relationship between those two departments? Because I heard when the acting national commissioner was saying that we will deal with that and deal with this, how we're going to deal with other departments and so on. Can I get that clarity of the relationship between those two departments? The question that I wanted to raise, Chairperson, is the department still using the private antennas in order to defend whatever case? Are they using the private attorneys? If the answer is yes, why? If the answer is no, why? I just want to know that. Because somewhere, somehow, we must know what kind of, what level of attorneys that you use, or what kind of attorneys or legal fraternity that you use. The last question, Jefferson, where are we in the Bishop Little Frere police station? Where are we now? Is it complete, finalized, everything, and over? We can't record your head, madam. We can't record your head that you are saying yes, yes, yes. But they will record it when you say yes, yes, yes. I just want to know that because it took us a while to talk about this Bishop and later police stations. I just wanted to know where is it now and how far has it gone. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I would agree with Honorable NG Mulibati that it's the same police station. It's the worst that we have ever seen. That is my constituency in the Northwest Province. So I hope something urgent will be done before they collapse. That structure collapses on the employees there. You are talking here on the structural, a problem of structural unemployment, acting commissioner, that we need to create employment than reduce employment. But your diagram here says on slide 34, You're saying that by 2011-12, you would have 197,930 employees, but as you go down the years, 2014-2015, there will be a reduction of 9,440 people. And these, I think, are funded posts. Why this reduction? When these are funded posts. Opposed to the SONA address that in this country, the unemployment is very, very high. You're talking about in your department filling vacancies. Whilst you are doing this, at the same time, by 2014-2015, you would have reduced the employees by 9,000. Can you explain that discrepancy? The other issue talks to Chair, just I think most of the questions have been asked. That is my only concern. Thanks, Chair. Bye.
Number of performance targets that have been omitted in this year's performance plan. Can we get an explanation why? For instance, your development last year, you said 11,189 detectives developed. This year there's an omittance of the figure. Why was it decided to omit it, especially since we are saying this is going to be the year of the detectives? I've got more questions from the detectives, and I don't know whether I should ask them at administration because they cut across cases and also to the detectives. What is our current detective strength? And where are we going to? What is it that we want to achieve in terms of fully trained detectives? What is the number that we want to achieve? The difference, I think some of the other colleagues have asked this question maybe in different ways as well, but the difference between last year you gave us 30 projects, a couple of projects in total. Now there's 8. Why is there this difference? What happened to the others? Where have they disappeared to and why have you decided to do so? What is the new target for the doctor marking? It's also one that is disappeared. Have we achieved that 100%? And are we now just sustaining the new firearms as and when we acquire them? Inspections. Last year's performance agreement you had 100% open, 600 service delivery inspections. This year there's no target to this. Is it going to take place? What is the target? I want to find out from ICT environment the downward your target has been adjusted downward from 75.7 to 70%. Why is it? Why this downward adjustment on the target? See, I'm also interested in the question around the issue of the staff numbers and the reduction of the staff numbers. Now, obviously, there has been in real terms actually a cut in the budget of SAPS in terms of your normal huge
increases that you get annually, you actually this year have a, in real terms, a cut, or very close to a cut. And you have to reprioritize accordingly. Why did you decide to focus that on staff, on your numbers? I'm not necessarily saying it's wrong, but I want to find out the logic about it. I mean, I think we're all in agreement that we focused on quantity in the previous years and that we should start focusing on the quality of people that we employ. But that does not mean that we necessarily have to come down in terms of the numbers. So can we get an idea why do we see over the next three budget years this cut in the numbers of staff? Must say also welcome to the 21st century, since you're no longer going to use WordPerfect. Hopefully by then, by not doing that and actually using, like the rest of the modern civilization, starting to use Microsoft, it will now be, when you actually email us a document, we might be able to read the document. So welcome to the 21st century. But we were told you can't do this because of a contract that you've had with WordPerfect. What is the outcome of that? You had a long-term contract. That was what we were told a number of years ago. You had a long-term contract commitment in terms of licenses, agreements with WordPerfect. What is the outcome? Has that contract run out, and therefore you can now migrate to Microsoft, or have you decided that cut our costs and cut our losses and let's do what's necessary? A cluster approach. I want to agree with what colleagues have said about the cluster approach. And I must say, General Ndwe, I'm very glad that I'm not yourself, because what you've presented to us in terms of templates and in terms of what the effect thereof should be, et cetera, you're 100% correct. Absolutely 100% correct. Nobody academically can argue that point. Practice is a different matter. And it's not only cluster. I think I said last year when we had the same hearings, I said management is a daily exercise. It's not an event. It's something that you should do daily. The fact of the matter is, I've still got a CSL that we went through where things are according to academically like it should be. Chairperson said this morning that SAS 13 stores have improved. I don't know whether I haven't made enough noise during our last visits, because I don't believe that really improved. Archives. And these are all things that there are templates, there are rules, and there are regulations, and there are standing orders. What informs your belief that clusters are effective? Chairperson, can you just remind me, what is that station in Limpopo where the cluster, Burgersfort, that's just situated in the station. In the station. And it's most probably the worst station that we saw in Limpopo. In that station, we found two people in the cells who were beaten up, tortured. We found sub-13 evidence locked up in a cell, not even having the sub-13 numbers on the exhibits. We literally find everything and anything that you can find wrong at the station, we found at that station. And I'm using that as an example, because there you've got the cluster situated at that very same station. Announced visit, not an unannounced. They knew we were coming. But if you are not doing the correct thing on a daily basis, please do not try and correct it, because the committee is going to come, because it will not work. Medicine in the cells. Contraband. OVs that clearly indicate that that the cells are not visited on an hourly basis. And I'm stressing this point because I think SAPs need to, the fact of the matter is we, the unions, when we engage with the unions on your budget, both the unions say top heavy organization. Plastis is another level of management. It adds to the top heaviness. It adds to the salary bill of SAPs in terms of big individual salaries, but not necessarily number of police officers. So we need to find out from you really what the advantages of the clusters are, because on the ground we are not experiencing it. On the ground we are not seeing that. On the ground it seems to me like we're back at, you had previously before clusters you had something else, you called it something else, same thing. Areas. And we then said to you it's post offices. All it is. But if you can tell us that these clusters are making a difference and prove it to us, then we can say, yes, it's fine, let's spend this money on clusters. But unfortunately, on the ground, that's not what we're experiencing. Chairperson, I'm glad to hear that there's also, that there were indications that they are going to train station commanders on computer use, etc., etc. And I say that because when I raised the issue in North West, that detective commanders cannot, do not, and cannot explain crime statistics, I was told that it's not necessary to train them, and that they ask us that they need some training on this system to understand it completely. We were told, no, it's not necessary. They sit in front of a computer daily basis. They should be able to teach themselves. You can't teach yourself statistics. And the fact of the matter is, as long as we have that system of crime statistics and the detective branch commander is not capable to use that statistic, not only as a statistic, but as a management tool, why do we have it? Other than to satisfy the politicians' need to know what is happening in terms of crime statistics. Because it should be, in the end, a management tool. And if detective branch commanders come to us and they say, we need training on this thing, because when you ask them a simple question and they can't explain it to you, and they've been honest and say, but we can't. I had statistics at university. I'm still surprised that I actually passed it. But the fact of the matter is, it's not an easy thing to learn. So please, can we look at that? The absence of that as well. Human rights, you specifically got training on human rights. I'm glad to hear that. But I'm also worried that the emphasis, or maybe I should put it a different way. I would like to believe that human rights and the basic principles around human rights should form part of every single training course that SAPS provides, and specifically when we talk about basic training. Because it's there where we need to change the culture of the people that we employ. Hopefully, in fact, we are currently employing, since we talk about quality, we are employing somebody with a human rights conscience rather than a Skopskitten dormant conscience. In terms of training, do you currently have an international twin country that you are involved in terms of training, and if you do, who are they? I know previously it was, for some other bizarre reason, Switzerland. So could we just get an indication of that? I'm also interested to find out, Chairperson, what is the current ABET need still in SAPS? How big is that need? I think somebody did ask the question about the vet, the firearms, etc. Because really, you guys came here, this management came here and said to us, we from now on, we're issuing every single basic training, we're issuing with a safe, a firearm, and a vest. I think that's the Honourable Governor of the station, it's true. Most patients would tell you they don't arrive with that firearm. They might arrive with the safe, funny enough, but not with the firearm. And it's mostly the firearm that they don't arrive with. Not the vest, some of it not, but not the vest and the safe, but the firearm. I'm also interested to find out, General, how far are you with the IVIS testing? I think this committee needs to get a full report in terms of the IVIS testing, because this is a program that is supposed to be rolled out throughout of SAPS. And it would also assist SAPS in addressing the rogue characters within your organization. Put a few more. Supply chain management. I'm in my last four questions, Jefferson. Supply chain management. Last week there was again an incident of people acting as if they are police officers, wearing police uniforms and attacking people. I think it was a roadblock or something that was set up. Rooigrond, Northwest, supply chain. We got there, and I've got the photographs on my cell phone. I can show it to you. Old SAPS uniforms, the ones you're wearing currently, ranks, shoes, belts, caps, jackets, coats, lying outside, five crates of them. Not secured. Crates are open. I asked, do you have a register of what is in these crates? No, we don't. How long have these crates been standing like this? And can I say, the security going there is non-existent. It's outside. It's outside the building. It's not inside the building. How long have these crates been standing here? A month and a half. First it was a few days. Continue asking and the end came out about a month and a half. Now, if we are going to treat SAPS uniforms like that, then why are we surprised that people have access to SAPS uniforms and are using SAPS uniforms to commit crime? I want to know to you what the plan is around these issues. Now, what is supposed to happen? Because I'm sure academically there's again an answer. This is what's supposed to happen. But practically it's not happening. And again, it comes to the fact that there is sometimes no consequences when you do something wrong in SAPS. What is the plan regarding barracks in SAPS? Are we moving away? Are we sticking with barracks? If so, how are we planning to upgrade, and where is the funding showing that we are going to upgrade those barracks? Joburg, the ones that we saw there. Weinberg, yeah. Weinberg barracks. It's a disgrace. Absolute disgrace. I want also to know, Jefferson, this is my last question. It's really my last, unlike Honorable Poppy, I will not say last. It's my last question. Why the target for basic service and provision to police stations? Why there is no target this year? Because I'm 17 years, 18 years after democracy. We should get to the point where we say to this committee, we now have one or two stations left that need to get this. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much. Thank you, members. Honorable Ramatlakane, I did not see your hand.
The Chair was there, but... anyway, let me just be quickly, Chair, on the... it's fine. I'm tempted to say that my question has been answered, but I'll just emphasize, Chair, if I may. The just quick, just overall question I want to ask. I see the column that in your presentation that deal with the estimate. There's a column that deals with the estimate. I'm wondering what's the value of it.
to us that we suppose, when, because when you look at the work that has been done is an oversight, you need reliability to what you put as either what you're going to do, that you're going to evaluate based on what you're going to say, what you've told us in the report that you're going to do. I'm just wondering to if you can explain that column. I thought that column, over time it was actually omitted to be it replaced by actual measurability, that we're able to measure. So the second chair is that in relation to the what is omitted on the APP, it is, there was this discussion last year about the firearm and dot pin marked. Now I'm wondering whether everything has been completed, that's why it does not appear or it's been omitted into this current APP. If we can explain that. I add on the Honorable Annelies' question in terms of the training needs. What is it that we need to do in terms of the training besides having to have year to year? What is the sea of training needs that we have in terms of the 197 personnel that we have in terms of categories of training? So that when we plan the overall need, we say we are eating the elephant bit by bit, but this is the elephant that has been decided, that has been defined. Now, I don't see that, and I want to link this question with the backlog issues that in terms of detective training over 3 years period. Earlier on, there was this issue about incompetency of for 27,000 police to handle the firearm. Now, I don't know in terms of plan moving forward, in terms of that particular challenge, where are they allocated in terms of addressing that incompetency to become competence in terms of handling? Because it's a big number comparing to the numbers that you have. Where are they located and what is the program in dealing with that? Have they been planned to be put into the system for that capacitation? Because I don't seem to find them here. Then I'm quite worried about the term, these attendees. I mean, I think it was raised earlier on. It sounds to be a term that obscures the number. Mm. It's a very sophisticated term that you don't want to talk about warm bodies. You talk about repetition of attendance, and that becomes the number of thousands. I want to understand for me so that we're able to measure that. How many bodies, how many people have gone undertaking this and that, rather than to say attendees, because that's really a challenging term for us as an oversight that has to exercise an oversight. This demand-driven supply, I think there is an issue that we would issue the bulletproof vest based on the demand from provinces. Now, I'm not sure what is the cycle in terms of doing that particular demand-driven supply. What is the cycle that is the provinces are instructed to comply with in order to meet a national plan in terms of procuring that particular equipment and service? Because you're saying we will get the demand and then the demand will determine what is it that we want to purchase. But when we look at the rand and cent, we would like to know what is the volume that is in plan for purchase in terms of your procurement processes moving forward. How long is this cost that we're talking about? How long is it? Because the cost is there, and many of them, and I'm not sure how long is it in order to be able to make a dent than to spread them around. I just want to get that. Not the last one yet. There is this changing of technology. I think there's something I picked up that there's a development of dual system in terms of the try and run away from the dependency of one. I actually don't know what it means in real terms. In terms of the lead time, in terms of that, including the cost factor associated to that. And linked to that is this issue about the CETA and CETA selling a service. There's always lots of discussion when it comes to the issue of CETA and CETA services. Now, maybe there would be a useful in a future interval, maybe if we could have a bit of a further engagement around that particular issue in terms of the CETA. Let me come to the last two. And this I'm asking, I said I will emphasize, it was not asked earlier on. When we went to Limpopo, about the crime stats and the reporting of the crime stats, there was a reported an incident that was on paper about what you can refer to as a manipulation of the stats in terms of the report. And there was obviously the very same people that were involved in that were appointed to be head of another unit or the head of cluster. When he manipulated the stats on this side, we then promoted the person to the higher position. I'm wondering what action to date has been taken in terms of eliminating such, in terms of the system, in terms of system that helps you to eliminate the manipulation. What has been done with regard to that particular question, and what action has been taken around that particular issue? Chair, the last one is the, I didn't see it in detail, but it's part of the communication and technology, and it is summarized in the presentation, so you are unable to read. When we went to the Eastern Cape and we were doing the oversight around the communication, around the TEDRA issue, we asked a question about the cost associated to that particular communication and could not necessarily pick it up immediately on the list of things to be done. But there was obviously expenditure associated to that, and which was never quite explained. I was looking at in the APP, I seems not to find that particular project in terms of the expenditure pattern moving forward in terms of the allocation of it. Because when we were there, it was not complete, it was incomplete. There was still lots of resources to be put into it. Maybe we'll get a bit of insight, enlightened about that. And if that is also somewhere in your APP, written a little bit better than what the situation we have come across last year. And this, Chair, is a matter that the elaboration in terms of the annual business plan or performance plan, you are not detailed enough. We are unable to say here something has gone horribly wrong. So that's what I want to leave this question. That's the last question. Now that we have raised it and we have gone back to that place, and we said the annual plan should at least make provision so that we can see and we are able to exercise the oversight in that. Whether I don't find it, maybe it's a quick rush of a read, but maybe in your explanation you will say it is hidden under this particular program, and it is still going to be taken care of. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, members. Thank you. The reason why we have this interaction is to enable this portfolio committee to support
or not support the budget for the police. Now, in front of me here, there are about, in fact, to be exact, there are 24 TMS projects. I indeed am expected to either support or not support, but I don't even know what it is that I'm supporting. They're not costed. I don't know as to when they will be rolled out, whether they are being rolled out already. And at what stage are we going to say, now we have done this? We asked last year, some of them, they appeared in the 2011-12 APP. I remember very well at that time, there were 16 of them. We asked the department to cost this. In fact, the department came before the portfolio committee together with CETA. In that meeting, they presented 22 projects for TMS. We told them in that meeting that they must go and cost those projects. When they appeared or they sent that information to the portfolio committee, then it was 12 costed projects. It was 22. Some were not in the annual performance plan list, so it was new projects. It was new projects. Now, I don't know what it is that I'm expected to approve here. What is the cost of each of these 22 projects? 22 of them are in the APP and 22 of them are in the stretch plan. And I don't know a general informant as to what that means. Can these projects be costed so that we know exactly as to what it is that we must approve? Can we be told as to when did the department start rolling out this project and up until when? You checking, for instance, in the previous APP, they will say PCAM, which I think is a scam. However, an English scam. During that time, I mean, it would have been PCAM and nothing about figures, but this time it's 150. And I don't even know as to, from the time this PCAM thing was being introduced up until today, what has happened. But I'm expected to approve this budget and support this. I don't know what it is that I'm supporting. Also, I'm expected to oversee this department as to whether these projects are being rolled out, but I don't know how. We've been talking about PCAM for I don't know how long, and this portfolio committee in particular, some of us have raised serious concerns with PCAM, and we seem to be living with PCAM, and we don't know as to what is happening with PCAM, except that we see these things here. We can't monitor these things. So I don't know as to what it is that I must approve. Coming to the building of police station, you have police station, you have a column for 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013. 2012-13 it says the police station will be built. 2014-15 it says this one police station will be built and so on. And therefore one can only come to one conclusion that Cindy police station will be built during 2012-2013 financial year. However, here we are told which no, it's not like that. It's a police station that can be built over 2 or 3 financial years, but it's not appearing anyway. We therefore can't monitor these police stations because we don't know as to what it is that is happening with Ifateng police station. The only thing that we know is that that police station was prioritized over time, and according to the list now, it is appearing under 2016-17 or 15-16 list.
There is nothing that is saying to us, this is the work that has been done and paid for, and this is the amount that has been paid for Isotain police station and removing. It is only when you ask as to what is happening with this police station, then you're told that no, there is a problem with the land and blah, 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 and so on. But according to the annual performance plan and the stretch plan for the department, this police station is supposed to be built in the site where the current police station is. But the explanation that you get, it says, no, there is another area that has dolomite and so on. So you don't know as to whether the information that is there is anything to believe or not to believe. So can we get clarity as to what this information means exactly? This list of police stations that are here, that has been in your stretch plan from 2010 to 2014, that still appear and others have been dropped, they're no longer appearing. What exactly do that mean? I mean, does that mean? So that we know as to what it is that we are expected to oversee as the portfolio committee. When the department appeared here to brief us on the leases, we asked questions on police stations that are under construction, but also I think we asked a question on Mpumalanga province, is it provincial offices building. Can we therefore get an answer as to what has since happened? Because we were told that he's going to provide us with information. I'm not sure whether we'll have received any because we've been so busy. But can we then be briefed as to what has happened re that police station? The question that was asked by Honorable Popi is very important. What criteria do you use to identify police stations that need to be built? You know, in this year's list of police stations, there is Kamshanga police station. And I don't know, that police station has been left lying for ages, vandalized, and so on and so forth. You can say anything you want about that police station, but then now it appears that if it's a police station that, you know, we must simply believe and take it, no, really, time and so on and so forth. I don't know. I mean, I'm interested to know what it is. How are we expected as this portfolio committee to play our oversight role, which is so important over the department, in as far as the building of police stations are concerned? Are you able to build police stations? I'm asking this question, Ex-National Commissioner, because I think it was in 2010 or 11 where we met the department. And the department said to us, and we said to the department, please go, we're giving you an opportunity to please go and sit down, look at the best model that you can use to build your police station. Because we need this police station. If I'm able to go to my office, I will actually take a photo of the police station in Kobu. It's not anywhere in the list, but that police station is a serious disgrace, particularly for SAPS members. I'm told that if it Kanan police station, Ikanan police station is worse than Isotain, but if it is worse than Isotain, then there's no police station. But some of these police stations are not in your list, and we will not be surprised as the portfolio committee, because in any event, when the department appeared here, we were told that they were still going to meet when they were supposed to be presenting, when you're supposed to be presenting your annual performance plan and your stretch plan on Thursday of that week, we were told that you're still going to meet provincial commissioners the following Monday. And the question is, now, where do you base these things that are in these documents if your provincial commissioners are not brought on board when these things are being done and these decisions are being taken? We were told in the meeting, formal meeting, that on the Monday, on the following Monday, the provincial commissioners were going to meet this management so that they can then inform this management about their needs. What is informing these documents that are here? If you go to provinces, sometimes even if your provincial commissioners will not say it, but you get this picture that they don't even know as to what is informing these things that are in this document, these lists that are in this document, these police stations that are in this document. Should we accept these things? Because I have a good sense that we shouldn't. The issue regarding the height of, maybe this time around we will be full informed as to whether you will be able to purchase vehicles and distribute them to provinces so that they don't get them in drips and drabs. You have a plan in place for vehicles that will have a long life, not vehicles that the top management think is right, but that which provinces think the vehicles that are suitable for the terrain. But maybe this time around, we will also be made to understand as to what maintenance plan do you have in place, an effective maintenance plan. Because most of the sub-vehicles are standing in garages. They are on the road for 3 months and then in garages for 20 years. Can we get clarity as to whether there is proper budget for the maintenance of vehicles, that provinces will get their vehicles not in drips and drabs, so as for them to be able to address their needs. I think members have asked questions on the number of subs members that, according to your stress plan, will be reduced. My question, probably just to add on the questions that have been asked, is which level of subs members will be affected? We have a very top-heavy structure in subs. It's true. You know, you sit and listen, you have duplication of people doing almost related functions. But you go to provinces, again, you have so many, this number of deputy provincial commissioners. In fact, I'm interested to know as to how many generals do we have in subs. Because one might actually be interested to compare the number of generals that we have in SAP to the number of generals that defense has. We might actually be having more. So which part of SAP will be affected with the reduction of numbers? And what is informing, as I think Honorable Analyst has asked, what informed the decision that if your budget is cut, you should focus on reducing the numbers? What is informing that decision? Because I think we're still awaiting for the results of what is this, the census. With the rate at station level being so wrong, completely wrong, outdated, can we probably get information so that we know what is happening? How is this reduction going to impact on service delivery, but particularly on sector policy? How is it going to impact on sector policy, which we've not been able to roll out up until today? I know it falls under visible policing, but I think I'm relating it to the reduction of numbers. I mean, I've also been checking these TMS projects. Can I be informed as to where is Tetra in all this? Where is Tetra? And what information can we be provided with as of now about Tetra? Progress, maintenance plan and budget for the maintenance plan and implementation of Tetra. I think it's yet another scam. What happened to the previous financial year 16 project? Coming to issues related to training, we visited police stations. Can I mention the fact that the introduction of the 2-year training was like something to welcome. I'm not very sure whether one should welcome the implementation of that curriculum. Can we be informed as to where in this stretch plan or annual performance plan are you going to train field trainers for the implementation of the 2-year basic training and of course your trainers at the college? But maybe to take us back to even the previous annual performance plan. And I'm asking this question because the field trainers on the ground, I think they've never been trained. I'm asking that question because college lecturers or tutors, I think they've never been trained. And this takes me to a specific matter about a gentleman or a subs member, a trainer, by the name of Mr. J. Costias. We wrote a letter to the department and we said, please provide us with information. You're going to provide us with information in this meeting. According to the information we have, is that this trainer raised the issue that he's not trained to teach the subjects that were allocated to him or something like that. And because of that, was dismissed and in fact disciplined and dismissed. Can we get information on this one? We've been raising this matter over and over and over and over again, but I'm not sure, Acting National Commissioner, what qualifications do sub-trainers supposed to have? Is it necessary for them to have qualifications so that maybe we don't continue to ask questions on things that are not even necessary for the matter? What qualifications? Should they have qualifications? Do they have qualifications? I will not want to talk about some of the issues that we've raised in the past. The whole issue related to the integrity of tests, exams, and so on. I don't want to talk about that because we've raised these issues and I don't know whether they're being attended to, but I don't know. We're still receiving information from people who say the pass one, pass all principle is sometimes applied, and people who fail, lecturers are instructed to ensure that they pass. I mean, I don't know. How do we, this time around, are you ensuring that when your learners are in the clinical facilities for field training or clinical training, they do meet their objectives? But also this time around, how are you ensuring, because we were told, unless it was wrong, that the basic training, we now have these learners introduced to detective services, a 2-year training, I mean 2 weeks training. However, when they go to the clinical facilities, they are not allocated to detective services. They no longer do detective services. They were doing that when there was nothing they were receiving in the classroom, but now they have something and they're expected to correlate that theory with practice. It's not happening. What is this? Is it true? They no longer have portfolios. And probably can we be clarified as to why you decided that your students should no longer have portfolios when they go to clinical for clinical learning? We raised these issues in one of our meetings to say there are police stations that are not suitable for training. But believe you me, in some of these police stations that we're reporting here as the worst police stations, they are trainers, they are constables that are on training. Some with field trainers, some without field trainers. So all that we're doing, we're socializing them to do the worst and therefore be the worst constables or members. And when they complete and they are the worst, we're expecting something good out of something that we socialized to be the worst. I'm really asking. Maybe my very last question, is on the inspectorate. I think maybe this one will be for out of ignorance from my side. When is inspectorate receiving its budget? Can I just, if I can, but just be assisted today? Promotions. Sometimes one feels that we are actually being rendered a union as members of the portfolio committee because there is simply an outcry from all over the country. We want to ask the department this time around to brief us as to what criteria did the department use to promote members to the major and what in lieutenant, whatever, these two ranks that were reported to the portfolio committee at the time of the introduction of ranks as being vacant. People that were promoted to fill those two ranks, what criteria was used? Can we get clarity? Because Honorable Analyst is talking about one of the worst Section 13 stores in Limpopo, but a person who was actually in charge of that Section 13 stores was promoted. Thank you for being the worst person to run Section 13 stores. Here is a promotion. What makes me to want to do best if hopeless people are promoted? What was the role of provincial commissioners in those promotions when they were effected? Because there is budget here according to the CFO allocated for promotion. Are we talking about these people that are sick in one of the provinces? I think it's Northwest. The station commander says to us, that person has been abusing alcohol to an extent that I instructed him to report to me every day before going to the area where he is working. That person is promoted. And because that police station does not qualify to have that rank, he's then been moved to another police station and he reported at work for 3 days and is not reported with a promotion. With a promotion. This is what we're getting on the ground. I will not be talking about provinces because I think we probably will have to go to each province and look into the manner in which they've been promoting their people, provinces, where they're promoting people on the basis of their tribes. That is something else. I'm talking about the promotions from the national office. Can we get information as to how did you promote people to these positions? What criteria was used? Because there are people that were promoted. Alcoholics promoted. Some people who are boarded, sitting at home promoted. Others who have retired promoted. I mean, really. And that the management managing promotions. Oh no. I'm better off being a politician. Really. I'm better off being a politician. Those are the questions that we're having, and we shall break for lunch. Time now is 22:02. We'll meet here at 20 past 2. Thank you very much. You can attend.